Let's turn our Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians and the second chapter. Last week, we looked at verses 12 through 14 and talked about my open door. Sometimes these open doors are also open hostility, and sometimes God means it that way for his own purposes and for his glory. If you would stand for the reading, or if you could, or in your heart, amen, for reading God's word, I'm going to just read verses 12 through 14, and we're going to look at another aspect here when Paul says he was restless. And we'll call today's message, Hard Decisions. What do you do when there's more than one thing to do? What do you do? Hard decisions. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 12 through 14. When I came to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ, even though a door was open for me in the Lord, my spirit was not at rest because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I took leave of them and went on to Macedonia. But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. Lord. Let our sacrifice this morning, our sacrifice of praise, be a sweet-smelling savor in your nostrils, and breathe that breath upon us. Come. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So we just read it. 2 Corinthians 2:14, Paul talks about always being led in triumph. But in verse 13, we read that he was so absolutely restless that he left behind an opportunity and went somewhere else. Now, in that circumstance, how can Paul say that he was being led in triumphal procession? He said, God opened this door, and yet he got back out of the door. How can he say that he's being led in triumph? Isn't he kind of falling against where God was leading? Is that true? And earlier in the letter, as we read through these messages, Paul had said that he'd been in such despair that he might as well be dead. He said, I despaired of life itself. I felt like I had the sentence of death. So how can you say you're winning when you look, you feel, and you act like you're losing? How can you say you're always triumphing when there's so much clear evidence that you're not? Now, that's the question. But what's the answer? Now, there's several facets to this, and we're taking this slowly. And in our last message, we looked at how Paul uses the term open door. People talk about that all the time. I like to say this. Sometimes God closes the door so he can flatten you and send you underneath. It's that way. I mean, you got to preach through, not just, it's all good, it's all right, because it is sometimes. But then when you're hearing that, and you're sitting down here, you think, I must not have enough faith. That's not true. You're going to learn something about God's will here from what Paul did, because he had a hard decision. He was rocking a hard place. He had to choose one. Someone was going to be angry. Someone was going to say something. But he did something anyway. And it wasn't because he had all his ducks lined up in a row, and I'm going to show you that. Oh, this will set you free today. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. You know, because sometimes we get free and we think, yeah, I'm free, I'm free. Hey, those chains look good. Am I right? And you wind up being where this thing is controlling you, and you say, like they did in John chapter 8, we're sons of Abraham. We're not slaves to anybody. Of course they were for over 400 years, right? But we get that way. Oh, no, I'm in perfect health. I've had a stroke and two heart attacks. I'm only 55. Woo, I'm great. Yeah, well, you know, in the Lord I'm great. Me to live is Christ, to die is gain. But you get my point. We get this vision where we think, I've got this figured out, or I better get this figured out before I do something. Paul didn't have that luxury. And he had an open door. He could have said, I'm sure his friend said, why leave here? It's an open door. You're going to leave this for that? Why? The situations surrounding when I came here was a little bit like that. In the natural, it was like, why would you go there? My pastor, my mentor said that, why? And I said, because I have this burden, and there are a couple of individuals that I know that I'm linked to for life. He said, well, then you have to go. Doesn't matter about pay, doesn't matter where you live, these things aren't what matter. What matters is what I do. But what happens when you don't know what that is? Because Paul did not know what that is. And yet he made a decision. Now, let's continue on. We're talking about last week a little bit. You talk about an open door, and we see that when God opens a door, it means, you know, we think God ordained direction. He opened the door. But it also may mean God ordained difficulty. So that brought up the question, why is life and ministry necessarily difficult? And we discovered that God must necessarily place limits and difficulties on you to keep you looking at Him as you try to get others to look at Him. When you're a jar of clay, in other words, you're vulnerable, you're broken. This keeps you humble and dependent. And when you're in that place, yet you're still worshipful, you're still just loving God, you're willing, all of these things, people see how great Jesus is instead of seeing how great you are. It might not always feel good, but it will always be good because you're earning treasures in heaven. And it's speaking to people as God speaks into the souls, let there be light. You're shining that light. It resonates. They get that confirmation. They realize, you know what? This Jesus is who He says He is. That's the open door God wants you to walk and live in. Because, you know, just because we think open door means that's what's going to be easy, it's usually not that way. Look at Paul's life. Yes, I want things to be smooth, successful, swift, all these things, but so many times it is not. And yet there's great fruit there. But here was Paul with great fruit. And yet, I'm trying to bring up this question over and over again because this passage leads it to that. And there's some really incredible things right here in it. So let's continue our examination of this passage. We're going to focus now on what Paul says about making hard decisions. And he had left Troas. We saw that right in the text. For other ministry. For something else. And it was a door opened by God. Now Troas was founded about 300 B.C. It sounds like Troy, right? It was only about 10 miles away. That's where it got its name. Now Paul had left Ephesus and came to Troas. And he had been there before. And he was going to be there again. God had opened the door for the gospel. Paul preached. People were converted. Church was established. So he did go through that open door for a time. He was there. But then he left it behind. Now, why? And was this a mistake? Did he disobey God's leading? Again, God opened the door. Was he being selfish? Or was he being foolish? Life, friends, is complex. Difficult decisions are part of your mission. You might as well. Does anybody put that one on your refrigerator? Is that your T-shirt? Is that your banner? Look what the Lord has done. He made me go through this and then some, you know? But it is. The point is He leading you through and you're wearing that armor? And consider my servant Job. Think about that. The Apostle Paul, John the Baptist, the Lord Christ Himself. Difficult decisions, difficulties are part of your mission. Now, Paul was on a mission to bring the gospel to as many places and people as he could. And he was on a mission to plant churches, appoint elders, and to disciple believers. And part of that mission was also to keep in contact with the people. He would go back around. He would send emissaries out. He'd write letters. He wanted them to know if they were growing and how they were going and what he could help with. And he would visit again if he could. Now, he had established a church in Corinth. Again, this is 2 Corinthians. And it was dear to him. And of course, if you know the book of 1 Corinthians, you know there was a lot of problems. And he felt a real responsibility for that as a church. He writes in 2 Corinthians that not only have I been whipped and beaten and left for dead, I feel the burden of souls. And he did. And that's his issue. That's what's bringing all this up in this passage. He had already written the letter 1 Corinthians, but he didn't know how they responded to it. He told them what to do. He told them they need to exercise church discipline rightly. They need to order their church services rightly. They need to consider everybody as valuable and not play favorites. And he had already planned a visit to them. And then he changed his mind, as we see in chapter 2, verse 1, because he really didn't want to just go and just beat them up and feel sad. So he wrote them a letter, and that's actually known as the severe letter. He didn't go and beat them up, but he sent a letter that kind of beat him up again. You find that in chapters 2, verses 3 through 4. We've covered that already. And that part's not included in the Bible, but he was concerned about how things were going. We know that. And he had sent Titus to Corinth to check things out and to help them out. And then he was going to meet him in Troas and find out what the report is. But he did not see Troas when he went there. He did not see Titus, and he had not read the report. And so now he was especially uneasy. He says, I find no rest for my soul. Have you ever been like that? You just get this, Some people call it a check in the spirit. Some people just, you're in the middle of the night and you think of somebody and you just got, pray. But this thing wasn't going to let him go. Yes, the Apostle Paul, God's chosen man for the Gentiles, he knew anxiety. And he knew how anxiety is amplified by not being sure what to do next. Someone you love is in trouble, and it makes you feel bad. And you don't know what to do, and it makes you feel worse. And if you have to make a difficult decision, you got to choose one path over another, it makes you restless. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? People think that's not part of biblical Christianity. Yes, it is right here. This is Paul. It's in there for a reason. This is the hand of God, the inspired Holy Spirit putting these words in his mouth to be real. Not just say, well, by the way, this is not how you're supposed to do it. It's like the songs when they cry out, oh, Lord, how long? That's our humanity, but you're not going to get his divinity unless you present him with your humanity. He's like, I have a problem. Can you show me how to be the solution? No, can you be the solution? And he is. He keeps us dependent on him. And here's the Apostle Paul. He had left. Now he doesn't know what's going on. Since he didn't see Titus, did Titus get murdered? Did they get mad and say, well, we can't kill Paul because he's over in another country, but we're going to get you? Did they say, well, forget this guy? He thought maybe because he's writing here in 2 Corinthians about the super apostles. Who judge based on what's on the outside and not what's on the inside. In 2 Corinthians 5:12, he goes, I'm giving you an example for all time, not to brag about me, but to show you it matters what's in the heart, not what's in your health. Real fruit. So here he is, having to make a decision. Do I stay with these people or do I go back to these people? I can't get over it. I've got to do something. What am I going to do? So he was anxiety. He had it bad. This kind of burden is part of biblical Christianity. It's not that we don't have it, it's how do we process it. The problem isn't sin, the problem is when you say it isn't. The problem isn't struggling with sin, the problem is when you don't. The problem isn't that we have burdens, the problem is what do we do with them. The Apostle Peter said, cast your cares on him for he cares for you. How do you do that? Another question, but some of it's right here. So Paul had a burden, and he had to make a decision. What could he do? What should he do? What would he do? And he had a burden for more than one side. As a pastor, I find this often. You remember in the old Western movies, they had the white hats and the black hats. White hats, good guys. Black hats, bad guys. And sometimes you're wearing the, I don't know, the Neapolitan. Is that when you get chocolate strawberry? Yeah, because then you're not really sure what you are over here. You're a little fruity on this side. You're clean and you can't make up your mind. That's what they were saying about Paul. And so if he left Troas, weren't they going to say the same thing? You see what I'm saying? He's like, everywhere I go, everybody thinks I'm fickle. I'm the most right into a die ever. I left everything to do this. He's not fickle. He is faithful. But sometimes you're faithful and people call you fickle. So you're in this as a pastor. And if you do this, we're leaving the church. And then you have other people. If you don't do this, then we're leaving the church. And you're sitting there going, what am I supposed to do? How do I? This text will answer this for you. Are you interested? Yes. What's he going to do? He had a burden for more than one side. He was torn apart about which way to turn. And as he wrote in 2 Corinthians, as we saw in our earlier messages, some of the Corinthians were accusing him of being fickle or being corrupt or double-minded or unstable. And now if he left Troas, wouldn't those people think the same thing? And they would have heard how he left there too. This is what's this guy. He's just this traveling guy. He just gets it good and then he goes on. He's about the money. Or whatever it may be, right? He can't handle it. Anyway he turned, he was going to be losing in some way. So again, how can he claim to be always be led in triumph? He's got no way to win in this situation. Mountains on one side, mountains on the other, the Egyptian army behind, the Red Sea and forward. They'd already passed that and he told them, go back. Why would you do that? So it has to be God. He has no way to win. So it has to be God. Isn't that the way it is with life, friends? There's no way to win sometimes. Sometimes no matter what you do, someone isn't going to like it. Someone's going to blame you. And someone's going to call you a loser. And some people will abandon ship. Help me in the way that I want to be helped. And if you don't help me in the way that I want to be helped, I won't be helped. And I'll blame you for not helping me. Now, that's a little cynical, but that happens in life. Especially when you have two sides of a family. And then do we go here for Christmas? Or do we go here for Thanksgiving? Or what do we do? And then all these slights and these suspicions and this gossip comes up, and you're sitting there with a target on you. What do you do? Just forget all. No. Paul wasn't going to do that. He would come back to Troas, but he had to do something. Why did he do it? Just because he felt a restless spirit? Wait. The answer is here. But sometimes somebody's going to blame you. And there's no way out of it if you're going to be a faithful follower of Jesus. There is no way out of it if you're going to be a faithful follower of Jesus. I'll say it 5,000 times. There's no way out of it if you're going to be a faithful follower of Jesus. You will have to make decisions that some people will not like. There comes a certain point when people are going to fall away. Peter talks about that. Yes. Now, that doesn't mean you just go, well, it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. Ha ha. And don't consider what's going on. You should listen to counsel. There's wisdom in a multitude of counselors, but then there's also just you and God. And sometimes God, who opened the door, is also making you. But he could never do. God is, we thought we'd just like him, but he's past finding out. We can know some things, but it comes down to this. If you're making sure that you're trying to give glory to God, even if you make a wrong decision, still glory to God. He's still got you in the parade. Now, that was the end of the message, so we'll see. But Paul had this burden. You know, you hear this a lot of times. I think Eric Clapton sang about it. You can't please everyone, so you got to please yourself. Well, the truth is you can't please everyone, and sometimes you can't please anyone. But it is a sin to live just to please yourself. Now, as a Christian, you know the answer. You would know the answer if you're a Christian. You need to please God. That's the right way. But what does that look like in Paul's instance right here? Seriously now, what does it look like? God had opened the door, and now Paul wants to back out of it. So as we said before, was this a mistake? Did Paul disobey God's leading? Was he being selfish or foolish? Is Paul writing the Corinthians to tell them how not to make decisions? Is he going to have to apologize to the people of Troas? Or is Paul writing something to show you that sometimes circumstances and situations are more complex than black and white? Here comes a statement. Gray is a biblical color. That's not an excuse to do whatever you want and call it, well, it doesn't matter. No. Let's think about Paul's situation here. But the point is, you can't just cookie cutter your way through life and decision making. There are certain principles that you can use that have worked for you that may not work for someone else in some other situation. You're going to have wisdom, and more than that, prudence, the timing of wisdom. Here was Paul. No really way to win. What's he going to do? Sometimes you're going to have to make decisions that are very difficult, and they're going to cost you and others something. That's what I find harder. Not when they cost me, when they cost someone I love. Sometimes your hands are going to have to get messy. You can't afford not to get your hands messy. Sometimes you'll need more than wisdom. As I said, you'll need prudence. Not just the knowledge of what to do, not just the wisdom of how to do it, but the prudence of when to do it. And then the courage of your convictions when it doesn't seem to go the right way. We made a particular decision today about limiting because of certain things and all that. And now, whoa, what am I going to have to face this? Am I going to have to face that? And I tried to, you know, tell people this, tell people that, you know, please be cool, you know, give online, you know, whatever. And let's say it was the wrong thing. And, oh, then no one's ever coming back. Oh, you know, you found out this. Oh, everybody got sick anyway. Whatever it may be, what do you do then? This is where Paul was. He could see ahead of time. He was doing misery math. If I do this, oh boy. If I don't do this, oh boy. If I do, everybody's probably going to be upset. So here was Paul. He had a heavy burden and a difficult decision to make. And the text tells you the decision he made. He left Troas and went to Macedonia. That was his decision. But what was his decision-making process? Well, Pastor, you took all these minutes just to get here, and this is what I want to know. You may not be satisfied with the answer, but I can manipulate you and say, well, the answer is Jesus Christ. You're not satisfied with that, but I won't do that. Now, Paul gives you an indication of his thought process at the beginning of verse 13. He says, my spirit was not at rest. He was deeply troubled. And he was not speaking of just general discomfort. You know, I just can't get any relief. I can't get any rest. He's speaking of a specific reason. He mentions it. Why was I restless? Because I did not find my brother Titus there. And that's why he says he took leave of them and went on to Macedonia. Paul had an open door, but a restless spirit. He had a lot of opportunity in Troas, but the situation with Titus and with Corinth was eating at him. That missed meeting with Titus, that delay of that report from Corinth, not knowing what's going on, that left him unable to focus fully on the task at hand in Troas. He was discouraged, he was distracted, and he was debilitated. It was affecting how he was doing. And he was unable to find relief. Something must have been going wrong, and he had to do something about it. Now, most people say, leave well enough alone. It's not your business. Why are you doing that? Isn't God sovereign? Blah, blah. Are you not trusting God? He's in charge of that. Now, some of those things might be true at certain times, especially God being sovereign, of course. But Paul did trust in God. But maybe God was directing him to go investigate the situation for himself. Maybe not. So even though there was an open door for the gospel, his heart was so troubled by missing Titus, by not hearing that report of how they did, that he decided to go to Macedonia. Now again, the route from Corinth to Troas would go through Macedonia. That was a normal pattern of things. And they both knew that. They would have communicated that. So he figures, I'm going to meet him halfway. I don't know where he is. Maybe I can meet him there. And maybe you can relate to this right now. A door's open, and there's needs that you can meet right where you are. But your spirit cannot rest. You start to see other options. You wonder if they may be the right move. You're having trouble in one area. Should I do this? I love it. There's a local pastor in this area, had a nice big church and all that, and really good, lots of ministry and all that. And he's near the age to retire, and he left to go to this little church in North Carolina. Because he had to. Why would you do that? That impressed me. Jesus left the 99, right? The story he told, right? Well, sometimes we think we're just being spiritual too. So here's the thing. What should he do? Paul left the open door of Troas behind and followed his restless spirit. And because he did, we have this portion of Scripture. So let me ask you, is that what you should do? Is that what the message is here? That when you have a restless spirit, that's God putting it in there, so you just follow it? No, that would be more akin to following your heart, and that is not right. It may be an indicator. It may be something important, but it isn't the most important thing that we're going to see in this passage. You see, Paul wasn't restless because he didn't like it at Troas. He wasn't just imagining greener pastures for his pastorate. Well, those people, yeah, you know, you're one of them. Let's go somewhere else. He'll just run into you later. I didn't like that church. Why? It could be a good reason. But it may be just be, well, you know what? Because 2 years later, after you get through the spot, you're going to say, well, you know. So you want me to be your pastor until I need to be your pastor. But anyway. So Paul wasn't doing that. He's not saying Troas is good, but I think I can find better over here in Corinth, you know, the messed up church. He wasn't doing that. He wasn't just trying to get out of trouble. It was the opposite. He was going to leave a relatively easy situation for an obviously harder one. A relatively easy situation for an obviously harder one. Paul wasn't giving up. He wasn't caving into the pressure. And he wasn't looking for other options. It wasn't as if he was restless because he was bored. Or that he wanted something better or less stressful or more fruitful. This just isn't working out. It was working out. God had opened it. It was doing great. That wasn't it. Paul knew the reason he was restless. And it was a good reason. But it's not. Now you can imagine what other people were going to say. We talked about it already. They might say, Paul, why leave a good thing? You know God opened this door, and there's plenty of ministry opportunities right here. It's right in front of you. You are just complicating matters. You're making it too hard on yourself. Sometimes that's true, but sometimes it's right. You're making it too hard on yourself. You're leaving the work for an unknown. How can this be God's will? That's why sometimes you have to be careful. You have to use some discretion with your disclosure, because some people just want to fix you. And they're not down in there with you. So you can listen to them, but you've got to be listening to God, because then you can take that in. It's not like it's a cafeteria, but sometimes God puts different voices out there so you can hear His. And sometimes they're saying it, sometimes they're not. But how can this be God's will? You can see why people would say that. But Paul knew he had to do something about it. And he knew something about God's will that many people don't. Paul had to go. He couldn't get any relief until he did something about it. And it did wind up working. Oh, I got you now. It did wind up working out, but that's not the point. I just ruined it there. I don't want to bait and switch you, but that's not the point. Now, it did work out. You see him later refer to this same trouble in 2 Corinthians 7:5. He says, "For even when we came to Macedonia, our bodies had no rest, but we were afflicted at every turn, fighting without and fear within." We sing it, the Billy Graham song, you know, right? Oh, Lamb of God, I come. You know, come on. And you see that Paul did meet up with Titus in Macedonia, and he was comforted. You see it in the next two verses, verses 6 and 7 of 2 Corinthians 7. He says, "But God," hallelujah, "who comforts the downcast," amen, "comforted us by the coming of Titus, and not only by his coming, but also by the comfort with which he was comforted by you, as he told us of your longing, your mourning, your zeal for me, so that I rejoiced even more." So you might say, well, Paul seems to have made the right decision. You know, it worked out. But here's the thing about that. Just because it worked out doesn't mean he made the right decision. Now we're deep into the sauce. He made the right decision because of something else. No matter how good Titus's report might have been, there was still going to be work to do at Corinth. This is why he's writing 2 Corinthians and why he planned to visit them again. So the comfort from Titus, of Titus, and from Titus was actually secondary. And this is why Paul waits until chapter 7 to tell you that he met up with Titus, that he gave her a good report, and he found comfort from it all. So you're reading this letter in chapter 2, and he mentions how not seeing Titus left him restless. And then he waits till chapter 7 to say he found Titus and he gave him comfort. Why did he wait to chapter 7 when he goes from restless to triumph between verses 13 and verse 14? Doesn't say anything about that in there, is it? Are we supposed to wait to that and then go back in? No, he's just discussing this as an afterthought in chapter 7. The triumph wasn't dependent upon his comfort. There was something else more important. And here it is. You see, Paul was down, but he looked up. He had made up his mind before he ever met Titus and found out the report. He knew something about God's will and making hard decisions, and it made him able to rest in God even when he was restless in himself. Now listen to how Paul was able to make this hard decision and learn something now about God's will. Whatever Paul was going to do, he was intent on doing it for the glory of God and the good of God's people. And he was thankful to God, no matter how the decision turned out. Verse 13 sees Paul down and troubled. Yet verse 14 says, "But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Him everywhere." He's not saying, "Thanks be to God, because whatever I choose, I know that that's what God, because I'm God." No, obviously not. Or I'm perfectly led. Wait a minute, he was led into Troas. Is it that? No, it's not that I'm careless about what I do, but I know the reason why I'm doing it is to glorify God and edify His people. And so, therefore, even if the decision I made was the wrong one, God is still going to use it for my good and His glory. Always in triumphal procession, he goes, "I don't know what to do. Here I am. I have no clue. I go this way, they're going to be mad. I go this way, they're going to be mad. If I go somewhere else, we're all going to be mad. But even if I do that, God is God, and He's got me in the parade. Yes. You might be down. You might be troubled. You might have a hard decision to make. You might make the wrong one. But thanks be to God, you're still going to be going to victory. And you're in that victory parade right now. A bunch of wrong decision makers, bad advice people and all that, they're in the parade. It just happened to be a decision that worked out. We don't see what happened to Troas. Maybe it was the wrong decision in a way. Depends on who you're looking from. See, when you get to God's viewpoint and you look from His viewpoint, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. And so I make the wrong decision to come up and get air at one time or something like that. I'm still flooded. Yes. If you don't learn this, you're going to be shackled by people and situations. And if you try and control every situation, you're controlled by every situation. And Paul says, you know, this restless spirit isn't controlling me, but I feel like I need to do this. What if I get it wrong? Thanks to God. When you have a hard decision to make, thank God for Jesus Christ. Yes. Paul knew that he wasn't leading the parade. He knew that Jesus was, that Jesus had conquered him, and that Jesus was leading him into victory, in victory and to victory, despite the troubles, despite the restlessness, despite his decisions, whether or not he made all the right moves, whether or not things seemed to work out. God's sovereign power and His providential care is a promise that Jesus would be leading him to eternal glory. And so, even if he made some wrong moves, even if he let his feelings get the best of him or guide him in the wrong way, even if he listened to some bad advice, even if he had to go back and do some things over again, even if the people called him a loser or whatever they called him, God had called him. And God was going to deliver him all the way to glory. And all along the way, God was going to get the glory. No matter what, Paul was in that victory parade. And so, even if he somehow made a wrong decision, God was going to use that to further His kingdom. You, I, we all need to get that down into our soul. Here it is, right in the text. There's nothing in verse 13 and 14 to discover. He just goes from, this is where I'm at, but this is who I'm looking at. And then He tells you the report later. He says He found that comfort. It was good. This is good later. But what if it hadn't been that? He still was doing the right thing. God has a way of taking the wrong thing and turning it into the right thing. He that knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Oh, yeah. I'm going to bring Him all this. No, bring Him your sin. Let Him transform, transcend. I'm not saying it doesn't matter what you do. Your choices have consequences. But Paul wasn't deliberately choosing sin. He wanted to glorify God. So even if he made a wrong decision, it would turn out for Paul's good and God's glory. You see the answer right there? It's in the text. It leaves you right there. Like when we study Psalm 88 and there's no conclusion. It just seems bad, bad, bad. But he's bringing it to God, God, God. So in a sense, it's good, good, good. We always say, it's all about God, it's not about us. But we need to realize that He's the potter and we're the clay. We're vulnerable, we're broken, that means we're dependent, that means we're humble, and it means, well, here I am carrying this, and maybe you'll find out later it wasn't right. Maybe you ask God, Lord, let the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in Your sight. Your Lord, You're my strength, You're my Redeemer. See if there be any wicked way in me. Change me, Lord. But sometimes you don't get to find out ahead of time. Sometimes you can't go left or right. There's nothing. You're being split apart. You got to do something. Paul says, you know, I am going to do something. I'm restless. I got to do something here because I got to go back to Corinthians. I'll come back to Troas later. Maybe Titus is dead. Maybe they've had a riot. Maybe these super apostles get there and just messed everything up. I got to go do something now. And if it winds up being the wrong thing and all that, God help me. And He will. And He did. Again, don't just look at it because he did this. Oh, he made the right decision because it worked out. Sometimes we make the decision and they don't work out. But God is still working out. He works in us the will and do of his good pleasure. And when you're saying, Lord, I don't have to have it all figured out. Here I go. Woo! I'm trusting in you. That pleases God. Yes, it pleases God. I don't know what to do, but I'm going to follow you as best I know. You'll have to show me, Lord. And he does. And many times it's later. Hey, this thing worked out. It doesn't always work out. But God is still God. That's the point. Sometimes you have conflicting burdens. What do? You praise and thank God. There's your simple. You trust that whether or not things work out, God is working in you and through you for your good and his glory. Jesus is winning, which means you are winning. Even when you don't look, feel, or act like it. When you have a hard decision to make, thank God for Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you that this is more than a principle. This is a promise. More than just something we look at, something that's coming right after us and that we're already in. Jesus has conquered us. We're in that victory parade. Lord, as we go through this text, as we go through this life, as we experience more of you, and we have these burdens, we have these decisions, help us to rest in you even when we aren't restful in ourselves. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.